This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Another big wheel of the climate shift has turned. Young scientist Levka Caesar reports the Atlantic overturning current, including the Gulf Stream, has definitely weakened because of climate change. It will add to global warming and affect hundreds of millions of people on both sides of the Atlantic and around the world. The wild change in ocean currents portrayed in the disaster movie The Day After Tomorrow has now been confirmed by science. No, not the sudden freezing disaster shown by Hollywood. But if you are concerned with weather in the eastern United States, Canada, the UK, and Europe, or if you are worried about global climate change itself, this is for you. Multiple layers of science demonstrate the great ocean current, popularly known as the Gulf Stream, has weakened significantly since 1950. Two papers on the overturning of the Atlantic waters were published in the April edition of the prestigious journal Nature. One is led by the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, or PIC. The well-known scientist Stefan Rahmstorf was deeply involved, but here the lead author is PhD candidate Levka Caesar. This is her first paper, and published in the top journal Nature, no less. From Potsdam, Germany, Levka Caesar, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
Before we get to the many impacts of big change in the Atlantic, we do need to understand what it is. When you talk to the public, Levka, how do you explain the long technical term Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC?
Well, I like to emphasize that what we call AMOC is not just a single current. So it's not just the Gulf Stream, but it's actually a major current system in the Atlantic Ocean, and the Gulf Stream is just a part of it. And this current system is actually mainly characterized by a warm flow of waters in the upper layers of the Atlantic, going from the tropics to the higher latitudes. And there, the water cools, it releases heat to the atmosphere, and as it cools, it becomes denser, because cold water is denser than warm water. It sinks to deeper layers in the ocean, and then we have a southward return flow at those deeper layers. And due to this warm flow of waters in the upper layers and then a flow of colder waters in the deep layers of the Atlantic, we actually have a net heat transport from the tropics to the high latitudes that is carried or done by this overturning circulation.
And we will talk about the regional impacts that interest so many millions of people on both sides of the Atlantic. But first, what about the global climate change that affects everyone? Now, while researching your paper, I came across a 2014 study led by the University of Oxford scientist Yavor Kostov. And it begins, quote, "We propose here that the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC, plays an important role in setting the effective heat capacity of the world ocean and thus impacts the pace of transient climate change." Levka, do you agree if the Atlantic overturning slows down, could that hasten the arrival of climate impacts because less heat is dropping down to the deep ocean?
Well, this is a complex question, and we have to look here at two opposing effects, perhaps acting on different timescales. So what this study showed is that, well, the AMOC helps to transport heat downwards into the ocean as we have this overturning circulation with waters moving to or sinking to deeper ocean layers. But another effect is that when we have a slower overturning circulation in the Atlantic, we have less heat that is released to the atmosphere at high northern latitudes from the ocean. So I think there has to be more research done to study this effect. But one thing that is probably going to happen is that the ocean region in the North Atlantic is a major sink of carbon dioxide. So it's a region where the ocean takes up a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and then stores it in the deeper waters of the ocean, which is because we have colder surface waters there, and carbon dioxide is actually more easily solved in cold waters than it is in warm waters. And then, due to the overturning circulation, we have waters moving from the surface to the deeper ocean, and we have a sink, a transport of carbon dioxide from surface waters to the deep ocean. And when this overturning circulation slows down, we will likely have a positive feedback on the CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere. That is, the ocean will take up less carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and thus the CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere could rise more quickly. So we expect feedbacks on climate as the overturning circulation is changing, but we have to study them in more detail.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. In North America, the public knows this current as the Gulf Stream, and it's only part of it, as you say. But where does that Gulf Stream begin, and where does it get its heat?
Well, the Gulf Stream is kind of the part that flows along the east coast of the U.S. And where does it get its heat? Well, it transports water from the tropics, and in the tropics, the water is heated by the incoming solar fluxes. And when these warm water masses are fastly moved upwards to the North Atlantic, then they just take their time before they slowly release the heat to the atmosphere. And thus, we have a transport of warm water masses towards the higher latitudes in the North Atlantic.
How does the Gulf Stream affect the weather along the American eastern seaboard and the maritime provinces of Canada, and in what seasons?
This is a really complex question you're asking there, because weather is determined by a variety of factors. And when looking at the Gulf Stream or the overturning circulation, we rather see effects on long-term climate. So I'm sorry, but I can't in-depth answer this. But what we know is, or what studies have already shown, is an effect on the sea level at the American East Coast.
So would it cause the sea level to go higher or lower if we have these changes in the flowing of the current?
It will actually lead to an increased sea level rise. So we have a sea level rise because warmer ocean water is expanding, and therefore under global warming we have a general sea level rise. But, and this is more complex, so I'll take some time to answer this. As you know, the Earth is rotating, and therefore we have on all moving things on Earth the Coriolis force acting. So this normally means on the northern hemisphere that when somebody is moving from the south towards the north, and it doesn't matter if this is me or you or an ocean current, it is forced to move towards the right-hand side. And so for a current to move from the south to the north without being deflected this much, the sea surface has to tilt, with lower sea levels at the U.S. coast and higher sea levels in the mid-Atlantic, and then you have a force acting from the mid-Atlantic towards, from the high sea levels towards the low sea levels, which can counteract this Coriolis force. So this is one point. Then the Coriolis force is stronger when the current is faster. Therefore, this tilt has to be more steep when the current is faster. Now, as the current weakens, the Coriolis force gets weaker and the tilt and sea level height also becomes smaller. And this leads in the mid-Atlantic to lower sea levels, but at the U.S. East Coast to higher sea levels. Well, this is a physical mechanism that is actually, it's simple when you know about it, and it's kind of nice to really understand because it's a simple link. And this, yeah, has already been seen that we have increased sea level rise at the U.S. coast due to slower ocean currents.
I learned a lot from what you just said. Okay, your paper's mainly about the velocity of Atlantic Ocean currents, but is the Gulf Stream also changing its location or direction?
Okay, so what we show in our study is actually that there is a change in the location of the Gulf Stream. This is actually also basic physics. So, as I said, the overturning circulation is weakening, and this means that also this deep southward return flow from high latitudes towards the tropics is weakening. And when this deep return flow is kind of following the east coast of the U.S. and then it downslopes at the area of the Gulf of Maine due to the bottom topography there, it leads due to what we call vorticity conservation, which is also related to the Earth rotating. It kind of causes the Gulf Stream to deflect from the U.S. coast because it induces another recirculation gyre there. So this is complex, but the main point is the deep return flow causes the Gulf Stream at some point to deflect from the U.S. coast. And when this return flow becomes weaker, the Gulf Stream can actually follow the coastline a little bit further north and then deflect later towards mid-Atlantic. So we see an effect on the Gulf Stream, but you have to keep in mind that the Gulf Stream is also forced by wind changes or by the winds in the atmosphere over the Atlantic. And so changes in the Gulf Stream are not just due to changes in the overturning circulation, but other changes, for example, in the wind forcing will also show in the Gulf Stream. So it would also be great to study just the Gulf Stream itself in more detail, because now we focus on the overall overturning circulation.
There was a second study published in the same issue of Nature in April 2018, led by David Thornalley of the University College London. How does that relate to your study?
Well, basically, Thornalley and colleagues also looked at different climate parameters to infer information about the evolution of this overturning circulation in the Atlantic, but they went further back in time. So they used what we in climate science we call proxies from different core sites. So proxies means you can't measure something directly and you look at other parameters to get information. So they had a temperature-based proxy, and then they also used salted silt data. And the salted silt data basically gave them information about the current velocities of the deep flow of the Labrador seawater. So basically saying, depending on the size of the grains, you could kind of get information about how fast the current was. And they saw that this current got weaker towards the mid-19th century. Yet you have to keep in mind that this might not represent the full overturning circulation, because they used two core sites, and this is a rather local proxy then. Or they also looked at a temperature-based proxy with a little bit more data, which is similar like ours because it's based on the same idea, namely that when the overturning circulation in the Atlantic weakens, we have less heat being transported from the tropics to the high northern latitudes, and therefore you can see the cooling in the sea temperatures there.
Why do you say the change in the Atlantic overturning brought on by human-induced warming is greater than anything seen in the last 1,000 years?
Well, basically because that's what the data shows us. This relative temperature in the North Atlantic is colder as it was at any time in the last 1,000 years. So the temperatures in the North Atlantic with respect to the global mean temperature is really being at its deepest level right now, or its lowest level right now.
Yet, as Stefan Ramsdorf points out, a smaller ocean change in the currents appears at the end of the Little Ice Age, as it's called. Around 1860 was the end of it, and before a meaningful amount of fossil fuels were burned?
Well, this is correct, because the fossil fuels itself, or the burning of fossil fuels itself, is not the direct link to, or doesn't directly slow down the overturning circulation, but it is the increased melting of both Greenland ice sheet and the Arctic sea ice, so the increased meltwater flux into the ocean, into the North Atlantic Ocean, that is causing the slowdown of the overturning circulation. And we know that at the end of the Little Ice Age, or the so-called Little Ice Age, there was a time of increased melting of the Greenland ice sheet, presumably natural at that time, which then also caused a weakening in the overturning circulation, but that weakening wasn't as great as what we observe right now.
And you mentioned the melting of the Greenland ice sheet and the sea ice that is disappearing, but also increasing precipitation is a factor.
Yes, exactly, because increased precipitation over the North Atlantic and the surrounding land areas basically also leads to an increased freshwater flux into the North Atlantic due to the river runoff. And that is the point. It's the freshwater flux that is kind of hindering the engine, or what I would call the engine of the overturning circulation, namely that at some sites in the subpolar North Atlantic, you have places where water, due to it becoming cooler and being relatively salty, is so heavy at the surface that it has to sink down because the water layers below it are not as dense. So this dense surface water is sinking towards the deep ocean. And then if it's down there, it has to go somewhere, and then it flows south. So this is really what is keeping the overturning circulation going. And with this freshwater influx, the water is less salty. And if the water is less salty, it's not as dense, not as heavy, so it's more difficult for it to sink. And we therefore hinder the deep water formation that is driving the overturning circulation by increasing these freshwater fluxes into the Northern Atlantic.
Radio EcoShock.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. My guest is Liefke Caesar from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany. We're talking about a new paper in the journal Nature. It confirms the Great Atlantic Convection Current is weakening, with serious repercussions on both sides of the Atlantic and around the world. The press release from PIC, the Potsdam Institute, reports the Atlantic overturning current has reduced by about 15% since 1950. How do you know that, Liefke?
Well, what we really observe is the temperature change in the subpolar North Atlantic, what we call the subpolar gyre region, because it describes the location south of Greenland rather well, and we see the cooling there. And we know it's related to a weakened overturning circulation, bringing less heat into that region, and we then use an ensemble that is many different climate models, state-of-the-art climate models, to calibrate between the observed temperature change and the presumably change in the overturning strength that is causing this temperature change. And therefore, we can see, okay, looking at the observed temperature change, this relates or translates into a weakening of 3 thread drop since 1950, and that is 15% of the overall strength of the overturning circulation.
Right, and the Sverdrup is named after the Norwegian scientist Harald Sverdrup, and it's a measurement of ocean used in ocean science. And Wikipedia says the entire global input of fresh water from rivers to the ocean is equal to about 1.2 Sverdrups, and that would mean the reduction you're talking about in the ocean current in the Atlantic is about twice the total volume of all river water flowing into the sea around the world. That's a huge volume of change.
You're completely right. You have to keep in mind that we also talk about a huge current system. And I mean, just the width of the Gulf Stream is a couple of 100 kilometers, and then it goes down into deeper layers. But nevertheless, you're completely right. We're talking about lots of water being moved there or being not moved anymore.
Let's move on to Ireland and the UK. Liefke, how could a weaker Gulf Stream affect the weather there?
Well, this is complicated, and I have to admit that I'm not an expert talking about changes in weather. But what we know or what we think is that actually the winter surface air temperatures in Western Europe, if you look at them, they are up to 10 degrees higher than the zonal mean at the equivalent latitudes. So it's much warmer here than it is, for example, in Canada in wintertime. So, and this is largely due to the heat released by this ocean current system in the North Atlantic, and then the warm air is moved. The heat is transported toward Western Europe. So we do expect to have an effect there, but we have to study in more detail what exactly will happen.
Do you think the track of difficult and violent storms during winter in the United Kingdom in recent years could be related?
I think it could be because model results, so studies have indicated that an AMOC decline will influence the storm tracks in Europe and could possibly intensify storminess in Europe. But I do believe that there's more in-depth research needed to confirm this.
A lot of countries have been researching this Atlantic meridional overturning current with good reason. The Americans have a program to monitor AMOC. Another's called RAPID, operating with British funding, and the Hadley Center in the UK. How do your results compare with what they find?
Well, actually, we find the same decline in the overturning strength in our index that is observed by the RAPID program since 2004. That is when this program was implemented. So our results agree quite well with what has been measured. You just have to keep in mind that our index represents the longer-term changes of the overturning circulation, while the RAPID program gives you high temporal resolution data. But nevertheless, the results agree rather well.
There's a buzz in science about a blob of cold water south of Greenland. That spot in the ocean is one of the few places on the planet that is cooling despite global warming. How does that relate to the paper that you led?
Well, basically, the weakening in the overturning circulation actually explains the cooling trend in that region. So you just have to keep in mind that when you look at a single winter, for example, and you have really cold temperatures then at that point, this will, of course, also be influenced by weather, so by the state of the atmosphere. But the long-term trend in that region and the missing warming, let me put it like that, there, can be explained by a weakening in the overturning circulation in the Atlantic.
How could record cold in the northern Atlantic in 2015 lead to a heat wave in Europe that summer?
Well, this is actually an interaction between ocean and atmosphere that's quite interesting. So when you have cold temperatures in the North Atlantic, so south of Greenland, then this will favor an air pressure distribution that spans around the whole globe at the high northern latitudes, and this air pressure distribution can channel warm air into Europe from tropical regions, and if it persists for quite some while, then you can actually have a heat wave because you have many days with warm air being channeled into Europe, and this can lead to a prolonged heat wave in Europe.
That's pretty amazing. Did this study predict how quickly Atlantic overturning may weaken in a hotter future?
No, we actually did not research that. I mean, there are climate models, and many climate models have simulated and how far the overturning circulation will change under different scenarios, so depending on how much carbon dioxide we release into the atmosphere in the future. But it's kind of difficult to model such an overturning circulation, and therefore they do disagree on how fast the overturning circulation will weaken. So they agree on the fact that it will weaken, and I mean, our study showed that it already started to weaken in response to the increased greenhouse gas emissions and the following global warming. But as I said, the models disagree on the timing of this weakening, so we should put more effort into studying this into more detail.
Now, I know this isn't included in your study, but I wonder if science has speculated on whether there's a breaking point where the Atlantic currents create a climate crisis, or is this just a slow process that gradually ramps up?
Well, it is a relatively slow process compared to, for example, weather happenings or weather events. But we know that there is a threshold in the overturning circulation, so at some point it really might more or less stop flowing. But here again, the climate models disagree on where this threshold is, so how much warming is needed for the overturning circulation to more or less collapse. And I just can emphasize the importance of studying this in more detail.
It does sound important. I know there has been speculation for decades that the Gulf Stream could weaken or maybe stop eventually. What do these two studies bring that is new to that discussion?
Well, in my opinion, they bring a really robust evidence that the overturning circulation has indeed already weakened, as predicted by climate models in response to global warming.
Livka, what will you and your group at PIC be researching next?
Well, as you also already mentioned, is that we do know that or believe that there are influences from the overturning circulation on climate in Europe, in the U.S. and Canada. And personally, I would like to study the link between a decline in the overturning strength and its influences on weather in more detail. And my next project will actually be to study the link between the overturning circulation and extreme weather and extreme climate events. And, yeah, I'm excited on what I will find, but I'm also a little bit afraid of what this will show me. And, yeah, so that's my next project.
It's exciting science, but it does affect millions of people and not necessarily in a good way. Is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners?
Yes. I guess I would just like to say that I hope that everybody takes human-made global warming seriously because, I mean, it is true that there are a lot of things we don't completely understand yet and we do not completely or exactly know what the future will bring us. But it's clear to me that we are affecting our climate at a rather rapid speed. And, I mean, yeah, so just trying to protect our Earth, that would be great.
We've been speaking with Livka Caesar from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, known as PIC, or P-I-K. The title of this important paper is Stronger Evidence for a Weaker Atlantic Overturning. It was published in Nature on April 11th, 2018. Find links to the science we've been talking about, plus other helpful articles, in my radio show blog at ecoshock.org. Livka, thank you for helping us understand these big changes.
Yeah, thanks for giving me a chance to explain everything in detail.
I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio. For the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.